Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Boys, holla, holla, holla.
All right, we turned on the TV last night, Monday Night Football. There was a big question. Would the Cowboys, after all the hoopla, as usual, become the favorites in the NFC East after last night? And I got to tell you something, guys. I thought the Eagles had upset them at Cowboys.
No.
I thought early on, I see what's going on. I'm like, ooh, here it comes. You know, the Eagles are having some success.
What and do you then, mean, after the first drive?
Yeah. And then, listen, they wind up sacking in the end zone, the whole thing. And that was over pretty quickly. The Cowboys are the class of the NFC East.
Clearly, you've been around Stephen A. too long in them first take stuff because he got your mind poisoned about the Cowboys. He had a rough week. Ooh, I can't wait to see him this afternoon. I mean, this late morning. Stephen A. had a rough – I was thinking about it. He had a rough one because his beloved Pittsburgh Steelers, they dropped one.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like Derek Carr at the level he needs to, and Derek Carr just continues to shine.
Lost the bet to Tim Tebow last week.
And then he lost the bet to Tim Tebow. Now the Cowboys win. And so, oh, yeah, that's going to be a rough one. I'm going to have fun with him.
But I think the Cowboys winning, look, a lot. They have fans everywhere. But they have more fans who hate them than fans who root for them, like any, like, most popular team in the sport.
But see, you know what's so crazy about that sort of stuff? I don't know that that's true.
Hmm.
You know that? Because people sometimes wear 2 and 3 jerseys.
Right.
Right, they got a jersey on that says a different team, until such due time that they need to take it off. Oh, you know, I've always liked the Cowboys, or I always like, but they, you know, I watched them growing up. That deep hate isn't there. I don't think it because it's hard to hate the Cowboys.
I disagree. I hate the Cowboys.
It's hard.
I'm a Giants fan.
I hear what you're saying, but I think knowing Dak's story, seeing what Ezekiel Elliott has had to go through. Like, just paying attention to those storylines makes you want to root. Like, I want to see Dak. I've said it as a Giants fan. I want
to
see Dak.
Dak is easy to root for.
Like, man, and
but you're a Cowboy. If you don't, think about it though, Jay. If you don't like a team, you're not gonna like that player on the team.
Of course.
So you shouldn't be rooting for him.
But no, but there's some teams where you hate on that team. But there's some dudes on the team. You're like, it's hard to hate on that guy.
Nah. See, that ain't real hate there. That's just not real hate.
Most fans don't have
real
hate.
Don't tell me about real hate. I know all about real hate.
No, it's just not. You think about it. And the pros, I don't feel that way as a fan. I just think in college. Like, I could never root for UCLA.
Right.
Never.
Yeah, that's real
hate. Like, it's just never.
But you mess with Baron Davis. You rock with certain dudes.
But I know BD from our childhood.
You wore the Kevin Love jersey.
Well, that's because you gave it to me.
No, you know what the real difference is? You played for the rival. You played for that. That's a whole different
level. Even though you didn't play for the Giants, you love the Giants. So therefore, no matter what the Cowboys, who it is, you should always dislike the Cowboys.
Well, I do. I root against the Cowboys.
You should hope every single time that they take the field, something bad happens to them.
I do.
Then you shouldn't like that.
No. What I'm saying is there are some dudes who make it hard to hate on the team. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, so the Cowboys won in a rout. That's the first primetime game. You know, we're on it. We're here by 5:15 in the morning. So those primetime games have kept me with little sleep. By halftime last night,
you were fine. You did good. You watched the entire game, man. It's great.
Start the day is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, visit Indeed.com. So, Key,
yes, that would be me.
Everyone's talking Dak. He's the best quarterback in the division. Clearly, he's a top five quarterback. What was your
not very
biggest
many quarterbacks in the division? That's good.
Yeah,
I had to think when you said it. I'm like, yeah, Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones, and then whoever starts
Taylor
for Washington.
Heineke or something.
Whoever starts for Washington.
But yes. Dak is a top five-ish quarterback in the league-ish, and he had a great game. What's your biggest takeaway from the game, Key?
It's the defense.
The defense.
I mean, the defense is flying around. They could move Michael Parsons around to different spots for a guy who could play middle linebacker. He could play the wheel backer. He can line up on the edge, be the outside rush backer. He can put his hand on the ground, be a defensive end. I mean, he's not overly big. He's a solid size for a certain position, but he's that in-between hybrid type player that gives them a lot of flexibility to play with a lot of things like Bobby Wagner did when Dan Quinn was in Seattle as a defensive coordinator. So when you think about what what he's capable of putting together from a defensive standpoint. You got Diggs there doing his number as a defensive back. He's growing. But what allows the secondary to grow is when you have your front seven active. When you get your defensive line and your front seven active, your secondary can do what they need to do because they're comfortable. They know that the rush is going to get there. I could take my time, or better yet, I could take my time and start to, you know, do things that I probably wouldn't do as a defensive back if the rush wasn't there. Now I could play not sound as I normally would, and then I fall into situations. I take chances in situations. I remember playing with Aaron Glenn and Ray Mickens, and they used to always tell the defensive line, if you get there, it allows me to squat on a certain route because I know I got the help over the top. And you can see it in the secondary, the confidence level that the Cowboys presented themselves with against these young receivers.
So Trayvon makes that play partly because the front seven's playing well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because now he knows, oh, I can jump this. Because if I jump this and I miss, the front seven is going to get there. Somebody in the front seven is going to get there and – the guy over the top got my back. So now I'm going to jump it. And it worked out for him.
Yeah. Well, the Trayvon Diggs thing, two shout-outs for me. Number one to Kellen Moore because I think the play calling was off the charts. They were able to dominate the run game with Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard. We talked about that yesterday, right? The Eagles' defensive line allows you to penetrate that. So they did that. I think they actually have one of the most explosive offenses there is in the NFL. You can rank that top five. Mark that down. And then defensively, Key, another shout-out just for Diggs. I mean, look, you can put him on the top wide receiver, lockdown corner, and just, I mean, three interceptions now in three games. Three interceptions, like certified baller for the way he plays. Like, Micah Parsons coming off that edge, man, one tip pass. Just their defensive principle, it seems like this team is better. And their defense, because of Dan Quinn, like he just stated, I mean, they're a team they're going to contend.
Well, when you've got 11 hats rallying to the ball at all times and – even if you don't get 11, let's say you just get 6. That's a lot of hats to a ball. There's no standing around. If you go back pre-Dan Quinn and look at what type of defense they were running, the guys were standing around. They wasn't rallying to the ball. This is very similar to what Seattle was like in the early stages with him as their defensive coordinator. I think this team is – you know, it's interesting. I know a lot of people are waiting for the pin to burst the bubble, but I don't think it's going to happen this year. I think this team is going to put themselves in prime position to make a strong run at the NFC.
Looks like there's one good team in the NFC East, and it's the Cowboys. So far, that's held.
True.
I'll tell you what.
They can be undefeated.
What I want to know now is the Diggs brothers, is that combo? Have they replaced the Kelseys as the best brothers In the NFL.
So it's only Kelce and Diggs?
I mean, the Schwartz brothers were linemen, and they were good. But
no, but I'm saying right now, is it just
Kelce and Diggs? I'm trying to think of any other brother combinations in the NFL. But Trayvon, for one guy to be a receiver at that level,
McCourty's,
another dude,
they're done.
Yeah,
dude, to be a defensive back at that level, oof,
that's pretty scary. We'll do some research on it. Have some more information later on that one.
Foles Field or Fields or the Field. At this point, it's anyone's guess who Matt Nagy turns to next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
What do you mean we?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, Sirius XM Channel 80. So at the end of the last segment, I don't know, 30 seconds left, something like that, I'm like, hey, are the Diggs brothers now the best brothers in the game? We came up with a couple different examples, but I'm sure people listening were jumping up and down. Idiots! It's the Watt brothers or the Bosa brothers, right?
It's more guy. I just couldn't, off the top of my head, I couldn't think of other brothers. But yeah. You got TJ, JJ, you got Joey and Nick. And I'm sure there's some other.
Who would you I think Joey and Nick, considering where they are in their careers right now, probably when they're on the field, probably my choice.
Out of those three groups?
Out of everybody.
I'm taking the Diggs. I'm taking Diggs over Bosa and Wattenham. I'm taking Diggs and his brother.
Well, that's a good. So that's something new, right? Because no one was really thinking of the Diggs brothers like the Bosa brothers until. Maybe
yeah, but
last
Bosa
night.
Brothers, yeah, Bosa brothers are cool. They're good.
Yep.
And T.J. Watt is good.
And J.J.'s still good. He's just not
he's
what
just
he was.
J.J. is just. But those two at their pinnacle are pretty
But they
special.
Weren't at their – the Watts weren't at their pinnacle
at the same
time.
I know, but still, if you're just looking at overall body of work,
overall body of work is probably going to be Watt because – JJ
was out,
two-time
out of
defensive
exactly,
player of
that's
the year.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
And then his little brother, you know, is probably going to wind up being defensive player of the year at some point.
At some point, no.
So it's kind of like you could take that body of work, but Diggs has made Josh Allen a better quarterback, clearly.
Oh, Stephon Diggs, we already know.
But then his younger brother is coming onto the scene.
That's what I'm saying.
So guys.
McCurdy brothers?
They old though now.
Yeah.
Okay. I know now. I'm just.
I'm saying that's the power of like the primetime game, right? You talk about Monday Night Football. You make a play like Trayvon Diggs did last night, and the next day, people are thinking about you differently. Like the universe in people's minds of the has changed in the league.
But that's what primetime is all about.
No doubt.
Performing in the eyes of everybody. Like performances in the regular season is cool. You perform on a Monday night stage, a Sunday night stage. It's huge. And then when you carry that into the playoffs, that's how you
money players.
Can we talk
legendary.
About lack of performing?
Yeah.
And Matt Nagy? That's a good transition.
Y'all trying to get him fired.
No, I'm just.
No, you're not. No, your comeback was. You had the wrong comeback, though, Jay.
By the way, I mentioned the Kelce brothers when it came to brothers.
That's true, too.
But, Travis Kelce will appear on
the show.
Yeah. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
That is correct.
Were you about to say this just then?
I can't keep track of all the shows. If you heard any of yesterday's show, you know that everyone was surprised by the Bears' game plan for Justin Fields. We were not the only ones, okay? This is what Browns pass rusher Myles Garrett, one of the best in the business, who had 4.5 sacks versus the Bears. He had
just
half of the
other,
9 sacks.
Give him the other sack.
Told Pro Football Talk, quote, "We thought they were going to roll out a bit more, kind of move the pocket. They gave him the opportunity to drop back. It was just awesome to get back.
Oh, my goodness.
It's
Y'all
time for some.
Fired.
He's going to get himself fired.
That's what I wanted you
That's
to say.
That's the first time.
I was waiting you to.
I finally got the
I
coffee
teed
in
it
me.
Up to
I
you.
Know I'm there now.
You're supposed
I'm
to
present.
Hit it off the tee. Ain't that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, a little late on that one. He threw you the alley. There was no oop.
It's okay. I still caught it, though. I still caught it later in the game.
He came back down, double pump.
Kobe Bryant head pump.
Time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I guess this is can we say Straight Talk and Matt Nagy? Here he is.
No, they're all three under consideration right now. You know, in regards to where they're at, so we'll just have to kind of see the next couple days where they're all at. We know where Nick's at health wise, but we just want to keep an eye on Justin and Andy, and then for us to stay on that and make sure that we have a plan for any of those.
That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Y'all going
to
get that man fired.
Get a new sponsor called Whirlwind Talk.
That's
what I'm getting.
He's a bad deal. Just listen to him right there.
Thank
that's a
you.
Bad deal.
Thank you for finally coming on board.
They're all. No, I'm on board.
I wasn't on board. I'm on board now.
But I'm not trying to fire him today. I'll fire him in a couple weeks. Not today.
But nobody's trying to fire. It just. I said it before.
He's trying to fire himself.
I've been saying this for weeks, guys. Every time he approaches the podium to speak, I'm like, dead man walking. It just. It feels like when he opens his mouth, he can't get it right.
Now, and it feels to me, Key, like you are used to business conducted in a certain way because I see you whenever you start laughing. You're like, you can't fire him now. But that's just because of the way it's always been done. I have not heard a real reason from you why you really can't. And by the way, it sucks to call for a guy's job. I know. Because it's a person with a job, you know,
reason,
and a family.
The
and
real
all that.
Reason is we're only in 3 games into the season. That's the real reason. Now, if you ask me, Max, if this continues, should he be fired? And then I would say, absolutely. Because much like Myles Garrett said, and much like you and Jay and everybody else and Dan Orlowski and everybody else, and I'm sure Mike Tannenbaum when he comes on with us and Dan Graziano, everybody's going to say the same thing. It's a fireable offense.
Yeah.
Like this, like you said, I feel like, after looking at it, dissecting it, kind of just, you know, letting it absorb a little bit, he set him up for failure.
Yes.
But guys, this is real quick,
like,
Jay.
Really, like a real setup to fail.
Honestly, I brought this up on this Justin yesterday. It's a that's 2 p.m. Fantastic show, by the way, ESPN. It really is like a conspiracy theory. You'd be hard-pressed to come up with an explanation why a head coach would do that to a quarterback if he didn't want him to fail.
Help me real quick because I don't have the statistics in my brain. How many sacks did they have in the first half?
I'm not
y'all
sure.
Not know?
Yeah,
okay, whatever.
No,
he got sacked enough.
Yes.
So
it was 9 in the game.
Yeah, I know that, but I just was trying to figure out when, because when you go in at halftime, there's adjustments to be made.
Right.
There's assistant coaches that says, hey, they're killing us here. This is what we need to be able to do to get productivity, to do blah, blah, blah. And then they go back out in the second half and do the same thing. So to me, the conspiracy theory, as you said, this just in 2 o'clock, just in case you don't know, Mac Kellerman's hosting 2 to 3.
Beautiful host.
Beautiful host. Great looking guy.
Tremendous. Handsome.
That you would make those adjustments to protect the quarterback so you can have success. You have assistant coaches that are helping you do that. And I know damn well they're telling him, hey, we need to put him on the perimeter, and he's probably just sitting there going, oh, I think we're fine.
But, Keith, let's go back to what Dan Orlovsky said yesterday. And I know you said, hey, look, we're only in week 3.
Yeah, three weeks.
But Dan did say that there have been 164 days, whatever the arbitrary number is, since you've had
140.
Since you've had Justin Fields to prepare a game plan for how you utilize him in the game. So I hear what you're saying about halftime,
it's
making adjustments, right? But, like, hearing Myles Garrett say that, It's laughable. It's more than a fireball offense. It's a slap in the face to their organization about coming into this game. Let's utilize this guy who has different capabilities differently in an offensive scheme that is built for him. I'm losing my brain. I'm losing my mind.
I had Charlie Weiss, Dan Henning, Todd Haley, Mo Carthon, Sean Payton, Dan Henning again, as my offensive coordinators, and they all can make those adjustments when something wasn't right.
Key, I could make those adjustments. If I can do it, then that's someone who has a job in the NFL. I mean, come on. The Bears are nowhere near Key's real rankings.
Really?
Unless it's the real sorry rankings.
Towards the bottom.
They're probably leading the real sorry rankings, I'm guessing, competing with my Giants. But where will the Browns sit? Who is number one?
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline, including Travis Kelce on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's get right into Key's Real Rankings, brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Go ahead, Key.
Number 10.
Number 10, Dallas Cowboys. Got a chance to watch them. And look, my rankings move. You might have 8, you might have 6, 5. Hell, I may even only give you 2 one week. Who knows? But right now, we're sitting at number 10 with the Dallas Cowboys. We had a chance to see them on Monday Night Football last night. Great game. Dak Prescott did what he was supposed to do. Defense came to the party. We all worried about the defense in the past. I don't think you have to worry about them moving forward. They're only going to get better as the season carries on.
Number 9.
Number 9. Green Bay Packers. We watched them get run out of the building against the New Orleans Saints early on, and we wondered, what are they? Then they beat the Detroit Lions. It was like, it's Detroit, whatever. Then they go to San Francisco, take care of business in San Francisco. They leave a guy named Aaron Rodgers 34, 37 seconds on the clock. It's fine. He did his job. He went down there, field goal, let's go home. Great flight back to Green Bay. They sit at number 9.
Number 8.
The New Orleans Saints, the team I just talked about with the Green Bay Packers. New Orleans laid an egg in Carolina. Then they travel from wherever they're at, Jacksonville or wherever they're holding up court right now, all the way to New England to take care of Bill Belichick and Mac Jones. We all anticipated that the New England Patriots probably would give fits to the New Orleans Saints. I didn't believe that for one bit. They got their 7 assistant coaches back on the sidelines. They took care of business. Jameis Winston did what he was supposed to do. Not crazy statistical numbers, but the way they played and how they won that game puts them in my real rankings.
Number 7.
Another bounce back at number 7 is the Buffalo Bills. You look at the Bills, what they went out there and did this past weekend, you said to yourself, the Washington football team, they're going to have a tough, that defense, Max Kellerman, what a great defense. All Josh Allen did was remind you why he had consideration for the MVP a year ago. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that the Washington football team defense looks like it looked this year opposed to where it was a year ago.
Number 6.
Teddy Bridgewater and the Denver Broncos. Two glove Teddy. They need to get a quarterback. They got to go get a quarterback. That guy, he's played on 6 teams in 2 years. They don't want him. All he keeps doing is winning. That's all he does is win football games. And when you are Teddy Bridgewater and your team gravitates towards you, this is what you get. You get a guy who can win games, not screw it up for you, run the ball, play defense, and when he needs to throw, make the completion.
Hasn't thrown a pick yet, Key?
No, take 2 gloves.
Mm. Number 5.
Number 5, this is where it starts to get sticky, right? The Cleveland Browns. They lose Landry. No problem. We'll just roll in OBJ. We'll keep things going the way it's supposed to. Baker Mayfield will play the way he's supposed to against this particular defense in Chicago. Doesn't help, though, that we have a defensive line that could also go get 9 sacks when we need them to. Doesn't help the other team at all. The Cleveland Browns are for real. They're here to stay. I think they're going to give whoever, Kansas City, Oakland, or Las Vegas, New England, Buffalo, whoever comes in the AFC, they're going to give them a run for the money in that AFC championship game. I think they'll be in the AFC championship game playing against somebody.
Number 4.
I know. Number 4. Oh, gosh, here we go. The Arizona Cardinals. There you go, Jay.
Thank you.
Make the top 4. Because Mighty Mouse is just, look, I don't know what else to say, man. Dude is just ridiculous. It makes no sense that he goes out on a weekly basis and just shreds defenses. And the defenses, they don't have an answer for him. It looks like the moment it looked like that Arizona's in trouble, all of a sudden he pulls a Houdini move and gets them out of trouble. They win the game in Jacksonville. They're now in the top 4. Now, will they stay there? I don't know.
Number 3.
Number 3, Las Vegas Raiders. Bet on the Raiders. Ain't that what they say in Vegas? Bet on the Raiders. You got to bet on the Raiders and Derek Carr, John Gruden. They took care of a tough Miami team with a tough defense. But Carr continues to shine. Stephen A., I hope you're listening. Carr continues to shine. He is one of my top three or four MVP-type candidates right now in the day. Despite some adversity at times, all he does is balls and balls and balls. Now he has a defense to match his skill set in balling, so the Raiders are going to be there in the end.
Number two.
The defending champions. You say, how could they be number two? They lost to the Rams on the road, man. Stop. Don't even start that conversation about they lost, they should be dropped further down. No, they shouldn't. That would, no matter what the case is, whether they were to win or lose, they're going to be there in the end. They'll probably win their division, and we'll probably see them in the NFC Championship game playing against somebody trying to get to the Super Bowl. Terrific Tom is the damn quarterback.
Number one.
The same team that beat Terrific Tom, the Los Angeles Rams. Matthew Stafford is a different player on this team. Yes, he put up big numbers in Detroit, and everybody wanted to see what he was going to be like. But when you have DeSean Jackson and Cooper Kupp, I don't know, like, just forget about talking about him. He's on another planet right now as far as that slot receiver position goes. And then you got Robert Woods. You got the defense and Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. So the Rams sit at top at 3-0. The Buccaneers to follow. Obviously the Raiders, the Cardinals, the Browns. Sixth spot, the Broncos, seven, the Bills, eight, the Saints, nine, the Packers, and 10, the Dallas American Cowboys. And maybe I left a couple teams off that you'll scream at me about, but this is my damn real ranking. Make up your
own.
Don't
worry, next week we'll do top 13, Keys Real Rankings.
We might only do two.
Yeah,
that's right. I may decide to shock you and only have one team.
No recency bias, by the way. Cowboys, very impressive. Last night you have them 10. I thought they'd be higher. Packers, impressive. You have them 9. I thought they'd be higher. Teddy Bridgewater, take out last year on the Panthers, but you're going to have to take that season out. He's 25-12 for his career.
Yeah.
But last season, no good, and they brought in another quarterback, and now they're good.
But that's, what's the evaluation on any quarterbacks that don't have a running game?
Right.
Like, he did not have Christian McCaffrey. When you evaluate Teddy Bridgewater a year ago, you're sitting there going, well, he can't win. He lost these amount of games by these amount of points. Yes, close games. They lost a number of
4-11 becomes 7 or 8 wins, yeah. And then all of a sudden, what about the Chiefs? I know they're 1-2.
No, I'm mad at them.
Uh huh.
Yeah, they're not in the top.
They don't deserve.
This is punitive.
They lost two in a row. They don't deserve it, and they may be there next week. They might be at 11, but I don't have 11. I only have 10. And I'm mad at them. Though. I'm mad at them.
Fair enough.
They're like the team not in the top 10. All of a sudden, jump back into the top 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that quick.
Show me something.
Yes.
Don't keep telling me, show me.
Be a part of KJM Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed or call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. The other thing fans deserve is hot news.
I feel like we should get some kind of dance news with you when the song comes on, since you're in studio
I
now.
I don't dance before 10 a.m.
Okay.
I don't know. I just made that up.
Dan, before we get to hot news or not news, you do a column called Overreaction, Not Overreaction. Is it an overreaction to ask if Jalen Hurts is the answer at quarterback in Philly?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, this year's about Philadelphia finding that out. This is a guy they took in the second round when they thought they had their answer at quarterback already in Carson Wentz. So they need to figure out if he's the future there. And if he's not, the odds are pretty good that they're going to have 3 first-round picks next year with which to address the quarterback situation, be that draft a guy, be it trade for a guy. So, yeah, I think they're figuring it out. Last night was not a
good
point in his favor.
Yeah, it was not good at all, Dan. I was just like, but then when you look at the quarterback crop of college quarterbacks, you can keep them in school.
Sure.
Give me one dude that's anything good.
Dan,
best quarterback in college is a true freshman.
Dan, you just mentioned you need a running game. There was no running game to be found, and no pre-snap motion. Like, hey, they didn't give him a great chance to win.
Yeah, look,
Nagy's friend.
I'm not talking about just the draft with those 3 first-round picks, right? 3 first-round picks puts you in the mix for Deshaun Watson, if he's available, for Aaron Rodgers, you know, so all that kind of stuff. That's the way they're thinking.
Hot news or not news? Dan Graziano, Cowboys dominate the Eagles on Monday Night Football. They're now 2-1.
That's hot news because right now, the weekend the NFC East had, you've got to put the Cowboys head and shoulders beyond any of those other three teams right now. So, yeah, I think the fact that they were dominant, we're so used to the Cowboys letting us down, right? Like, oh, are they going to come out and push the Eagles around last night? But no, they looked great. I mean, they did everything they needed to do on both sides of the ball, and it looks like there's one really high-quality team in the NFC East right now.
And that it is hot news because, like Dan just said, they let you down so many times over the last several years that finally they got a defense where you go, okay. And I know it was against the Eagles and Jalen Hurts and young receivers and stuff like that.
No.
But everything was right. Everything looked shiny and good. Zeke Elliott got going. The impressive thing on an offensive side is there was no interceptions from Dak Prescott. I understand he fumbled. Okay, big deal. But he didn't give the ball to the other team. When you're hit from behind, most times than not, quarterbacks are going to fumble.
You know, when you win, obviously it erases a lot of mistakes. But, Key, you said everything looked right. There was one thing that didn't look right, but I'm still giving them the benefit of the doubt because they won the game. It's hot news because I will be paying attention to Mike McCarthy's clock management. Last two games, Chargers game and then before half. I'm just paying attention to it. It's a narrative you're starting to pay attention to more and more.
He's at home last night, so he knows where the clocks are.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, man. That's all I'm saying.
Point. It is hot news because you got to show me. Like, forget about letting you down everything. Every year in the NFC East, recently bad teams, Cowboys are one of them. They looked good against competitive against good teams first 2 weeks. They blew out an NFC East team. That's hot news. They are clearly the class of the division, as everyone thought ahead of time. I was not convinced. I am now. Hot news or not news, Dan Graziano, Josh Gordon signing with the Chiefs.
I went with not. I feel like we've seen this so many times now with Josh Gordon, and I understand what he struggles with, and hopefully he deals with it in a positive way going forward. But just from the football standpoint, you know, he's out, he's back in, someone signs him. The last couple times he ends up on Seattle, really wasn't a factor for them. He's 30 years old now. His monster year is 8 years ago now.
Wow, it's been 2013.
Yeah, wow. So I think people are hanging on to something that's probably so not young. There anymore. Chiefs need a little help at receiver, need some depth there. They're not getting what they want out of Mecole Hardman in that group, but I think they're better off if they start getting that than if, you know, Josh Gordon becomes their number two.
Here's why it's hot news to me. It's not so much on the field, it's off the field. Because Andy Reid understands these challenges that Josh has faced because he's had to deal with it with his own kids. Mm-hmm. So Big Red is like, you know, going to put his arms around a situation to try to guide him in the right direction. You don't see a lot of coaches and front office people make decisions knowing that it might go the wrong way. But he's willing to take that chance, so it becomes hot news to me because of that. And then on the field, they need a big receiver. They if it works out, they got itty bitties. They need, other than Kelsey, they need a tree to go get the ball for Patrick Mahomes in the red zone.
You know, it's hot news. A lot of people say, you know, I wonder if he can get himself out of it. But it's never he when you go through addiction issues, right? Like, I was addicted to opiates. It was we. Who do you surround yourself with that helps pick you up each and every day? So, Key, just to add on to your point about Andy Reid, the culture of the organization, I want to see Josh Gordon win.
Hot news. Let me tell you something about America that appeals to the human condition, like even like bankruptcy laws and stuff like that. As long as you're not hurting others, you're talking about self-inflicted damage, a million chances, 1,000,001, 1,000,002. You keep taking those shots. You pick yourself up off the deck, dust yourself off, try again. Maybe it doesn't work this time. Maybe it does, but I think it's safe to say we're all rooting for him.
Now I feel, I feel like the bad guy now for making it about football in my ass.
No, not at all, Dan. Dan, not at all. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Hot news or not news, Dan Graziano. Matt Nagy says all three Bears quarterbacks being considered to start week four.
That's obviously hot news. I mean, like, this is I think Dalton probably doesn't make it back this week from a health standpoint. And I think Foles probably isn't a real consideration when all is said and done, so it probably is Fields again. But the fact that it's said indicates that there's just a lot more uncertainty around that situation than I think we all wish there was regarding Justin Fields and whether he's ready to go. The head coach does not have the same opinion that most of us seem to have.
It's hot news and stupid at the same time. Like, it's hot because you're out there trying to set a narrative to make us feel like Justin Fields isn't ready. Well, that's okay. He's only ready. He's only not ready because you put him in a position not to be ready. It's almost like a sabotage of some sort to prove a point to everybody. And I've seen coaches do this, as crazy as it may sound. They put people in bad positions so they can show you, see? See, I'm right. I'm
it
right.
It sure feels that way.
Like, absolutely.
It feels that way.
I have a hard time going there. I mean, look, I don't think
Dan, you've already weighed in on hot news or not news, and we're not kicking puppies here. I know you'd like to.
What I was saying there, though, Dan, is it's not that he's saying I'm putting him out there so he can fail.
Yeah.
But he's putting him out there to not help him achieve some of the things that he can do by simply protections, putting him on the move, doing things that suit his skill set. So it becomes deliberate. How can you tell me that a guy has four sacks, Dan, and you know this is covering the sport for a long time, four sacks in the first half, and then you give up five in the second half because you make no adjustments at halftime. None of your assistant coaches came downstairs out of the press box and said, hey, this is what they're doing to us. Can we put him on the perimeter? So nobody did that.
Nine sacks. Two of them came on play action. Three of them came when they were in max protection. I mean, it's not like they weren't doing anything.
They were doing actually doing very little. If you look at the number of times they brought help to an offensive line that struggled, the number of times they dropped them back, even if that is the case that he was getting sacked under different conditions.
Right.
Didn't move the pocket, didn't move him out of the pocket.
But, Ford Nakeds where they sacked him once and he didn't gain yards. I mean, like, they did move him a little bit. Like, they ran 46 plays in the game. The Browns ran 47 in the first half.
Okay.
So, like, it's not it is a little bit of a small sample size. I get where the narrative has gone on this, and I think if people want to say Matt Nagy's not a good coach and they have more than just Sunday to base that on, fair enough, but I don't think...
You think he's a good
coach? Wait.
No, I'm not saying... What I'm saying
hold on a second.
Is
this hot news or not news?
Hold on one second, Dan.
I don't buy the sabotage angle.
Okay, I'm with you. If that's your stance, I understand. Move that to the side. Why does he keep saying things like this?
Saying what?
I'm just not sure what we're going to do with a quarterback. Why does he keep digging himself
deeper hole? I think he thinks he's protecting him. I think he really believes Justin Fields isn't ready, that they haven't executed the plan that they wanted to get him ready by now. They weren't planning on having to play him by now, and I think he thinks he's protecting him. Some guys don't give good press conference. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
That's a thing. So it may be that his messaging is not what he wants it to be, but it also may be that, you know, he's seeing stuff in practice that if he were honest about it would make Justin Fields look bad, and he doesn't want to do that.
All I know is Mitchell Trubisky was trending yesterday, and Chicago Bear fans were apologizing to him. Like that's where it was.
When a head coach and a quarterback combination get the town of Chicago to apologize to Trubisky.
To Trubisky. Yeah, look, I'm not saying it's great, and here's the thing, right? If Matt Nagy's a good coach, if Matt Nagy's a bad coach, that's all going to be fleshed out. But this is the guy they're entrusting to execute the plan right now, and so he's doing it. Whether that's the right plan or not, we'll all find out.
I know we do, but Dan, it's so simple and easy to make him successful. It really is. 100%.
But he would be the only rookie quarterback who is being successful if that's the case. That's right.
Successful.
We're not firing Robert Saleh.
Doesn't mean you win the game. It just means you look like a rookie quarterback who belongs in the NFL and not a guy who's getting killed.
The guy up in New England, he's successful. He's successful as a rookie quarterback because they're putting him in a position to be successful.
1-2. I mean, like, it's not.
I'm not talking about the W's. I'm just talking about his style of play.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a disaster.
Right.
Because they're protecting him and putting him in the right position to do what he needs to do.
It is 1 out of 3 quarterbacks that don't look like a disaster, though, because Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, it's not looking good for them either.
Not looking good. Expand it to the second.
We have less than 2 minutes. Guys, hot news or not news with Dan Graziano here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And I wanted to get to this one. LeBron tells the Mannings that Jerry Jones and Pete Carroll both offered him contracts.
Yeah, I like that one. I went with not because I felt like we knew that about Jerry.
We didn't know about Pete.
Doesn't surprise me about Pete Carroll.
Pete does that all the time.
Right. So, yeah, I think I went with not, but, I mean, I'm not, you know, married to it.
No, it's hot news because it's LeBron James.
Yeah.
And LeBron James is 6'7", 2.
Oh, no. 6'9".
Oh, 6'9". 6'9", 260.
Yeah.
So he would have been a wonderful tight end. People Ooh. Think he would have played receiver, not a chance.
You see his high school highlights? As athletic as he was,
he couldn't play receiver.
Right. 6'8", 260. He's a tight end.
Yeah, he's a tight end.
Okay.
But I would say this to LeBron. And I know him very, very well. And if you're listening, and if you're not listening, I'm sure people will tell you on Twitter. Yes, I am using your name.
Yeah. West Coast time.
Well, he might be up.
He might
work it out.
30 seconds.
It hurts when you get hit in the pros.
Oh,
yeah. It ain't high school and it ain't the NBA.
Yeah,
it hurts.
And you know why that man played basketball? Because he could. Anyone who can play in the NBA does. That's a better gig.
It hurts getting hit in your chin. Yeah.
Dan Graziano giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Thank you as always, Dan.
My pleasure.
Cowboys, we're going to get into the Cowboys again, of course. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 8.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.